passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Come in and the portal window is open. I'm sure that frown on your favorite college football coach's face was exactly the result of that. Good afternoon. Welcome in. We have a lot to get to, and we will not waste another second because the portal is something that everybody has been anticipating, and it is now open. A lot of players are in there, some big names, a couple expected, some not exactly, and we'll get into it in full detail this afternoon on the program. How about this headline? Alabama fans are happy to read it. Kalen DeBoer showing why he was the guy for Alabama. We knew it wouldn't be easy succeeding Nick Saban. But so far, so good for DeBoer. A good spring game over the weekend. And Chris Lowe, who has written volumes about Nick Saban, now writing today about Kalen DeBoer. Chris, always great to have you on. It's always interesting to get your perspective, especially when you've been to Tuscaloosa. So Saban's still around, but off to the side a little bit, even though he still sucks a lot of air out of the room. But what do you make out of DeBoer?
I'll be honest, Paul, as I drove to Tuscaloosa Saturday, I was sitting there wondering to myself, is it possible to write about Alabama football without writing about Nick Saban? Because as you point out, I've written so much about him over the last 17 years, but you know, having spent a little bit of time with Kalen DeBoer and talk with him, I think the thing that impresses me the most, and this probably would be the case for anybody coming in behind Nick, is that he truly is comfortable in his own skin of being who he is. I don't think in any way, shape, or form, since he's gotten there, since the day he had the press conference, meeting with his players, practice field, he's tried to be anything other than Kalen DeBoer, of what's gotten him to this point. And I know in speaking to him a few weeks or so after he got the job, that was going to be his goal. And I think in talking to kids on that team like Tyler Booker and Jalen Milroe, some of the guys that were around certainly under Nick Saban, they said that's been refreshing to them, that it's a different approach. There's a lot of positivity. There's some creativity. There's a different, as Tyler Booker said, a little bit of a different feel. And that doesn't mean that the feel wasn't right when Nick was there, but he told me a story that he got in a class last week and Nick Sheridan, the offensive coordinator, just called him out of the blue to check on him, ask him how class was doing, ask him about this. He said, we talk very little football. And he said, that's, you know, as a player, when you're at a place like Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, it's football 24/7. He said, that was pretty nice. Pretty cool to have that type of conversation with your OC.
Interestingly, Chris, I mean, he is different. Now, again, he hasn't, faced the crucible of an Alabama, big game Saturday. You know, spring game is one thing. Georgia in September is another. But talk about his demeanor, because he's very low-key. I can't help but get away that he just doesn't come off as your cookie-cutter, cast from central casting type of football coach.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, all his kids said he was absolutely the right guy for the job. We'll see if the Alabama faithful feel that way on September 28th or October, whenever, when they lose a football game, if they do. I think the thing with Kalen is, remember, you're talking about a guy who was at Sioux Falls to start his career and went to Indiana, which is not a cathedral of college football, goes to Fresno State. He's not a guy that was, and I mean this in a positive way, he wasn't born on third base in the coaching profession. You know, he really worked his way up. He wasn't at places, you know, where it was, you know, a blue blood or where you were expected to win every game every time. And you know, he hasn't had a lot of that hardcore scrutiny interaction with the press at a lot of the places he's been. Now, granted, he was at Washington the last 2 years. So I think he is who he is. I don't think that he feels like he has to put on any pretenses. I do think he's still learning on the job about what it's like to be a coach and wear all the different hats, especially in this era, Paul, with NIL and transfer portal at a place like Alabama and having everybody tug at you. But just look at all the different platforms you've already seen him on. He's already done more press and more local radio show than Nick probably did in his 17 years in Tuscaloosa. And again, I just think that's who he is. I don't think he feels like, maybe part of it is he's trying to sort of, you know, make connections with people there, the media and other groups. But I just think, again, having to spend a little time around Kalen and talk to others who know him a lot better than I do, that's truly who he is as a person and as a football coach.
Chris, I do want to talk about Coach Saban because he was there, but, you know, it was surreal to see him with a flip card as if he really needed one. But, you know, somebody who probably knew him, talked to him more than anybody in the media, just kind of take her through Nick Saban's return again. He lives there, but he's got a few other homes as well.
Yeah, he's a fan now, Paul, which means, does that mean we might hear him call your show a few times when he's upset about the pass rush
we hope
in
so.
Game three or week four? He reminded all the Alabama faithful there. He said, hey, I'm just like you guys. I'm a fan. And he was being tongue-in-cheek, but I do think he's he's very, very serious about keeping his distance from the football program. He's not going to be around the facility. If they want him, he'll be there, but he's not going to be, you know, in constant contact with his former players or calling a coach and saying, listen, I think we need to be playing this coverage, that coverage in this situation. He wants no part of that. That's not the way he's wired. He certainly, as a head coach, would not want anybody like that looking over his shoulder. I do think it's important for both he and Terry to be a part of the Tuscaloosa community. They've been there for so long. They're so intertwined with that community. They'll travel more. They've got a place at Jupiter Island in Florida. They've still got their place there in Lake Burton. But during the season, and this is the thing I asked him the last time I talked to him about, because I think a lot of his closest friends are worried about this. How's he going to do once preseason practice gets here in August, once you get into the grind of the season? Because you know the guy. I mean, he loves being out on the practice field and coaching and teaching and developing and watching tape and evaluating kids. That's the part of the sport he loves the best. Yeah, he's a competitor. He loves the games. But when you don't all of a sudden have that and you turn it off, how does he get his fix? And he told me that part of the reason he wanted to do TV is he's going to throw himself into getting ready for the draft and evaluating kids. A lot of these kids he coached or recruited or played against. And then once the season starts, being on the game day set, I'll promise you this, he will prepare for every week, whatever matchup they're looking into, whatever campus they're on, just like he did as a head coach going into a game week. That will be a big part of his football fix. But, you know, I was talking to Mark D'Antonio about it, you know, who coached with Nick there at Michigan State, talked to Joe Pendry, one of Nick's closest confidants in football. And they both said, though, even with that, there's going to be withdrawal and a debriefing process that I think every coach sort of has to go through when they coach as long and as successfully as Nick did, and then all of a sudden they're not coaching anymore.
And listen, I mean, you did the first couple of interviews with him where he set the tone, and he's clearly reading or preaching from that hymnal, and it's a great thing for him to talk about relaxing and all that. But you do know him. What do you think is going through his mind right now? You know, the draft will be over next week. There will be a gap between that and when he gets traveling again in late summer. When you do have to wonder, though, don't you, Chris? What is this man going to do when there's no football to go to or to deal with?
Yeah, and Paul, that's what his closest friends worry the most about, how he handles that. I mean, gosh, the guy, when he got COVID and had to sit at home, or maybe it was when he had his hip replaced, and I asked him, he said, you know, I was climbing the walls. You know, I try to get up and walk around because I don't think he's a sit-around guy, nor do I think he will be a sit-around guy in retirement. But it's just hard to replace that feeling as a football coach of being out there and being in the locker room and being with your players. And I think I don't think he knows. I'm sure in his mind, and he sort of communicated that to me, is you don't really know, Paul, until you go through that the first time, what it's going to be like on that first game Saturday. See, I think for me, the hardest time for him will be preseason camp, because he loved that. He loved it in the off season, the materials and doing those types of things and being a part of it and seeing kids grow and develop. I mean, that's the part of the game now with this new era, and you better adapt. And he's the first one to say that, or you better get out. Well, we saw what decision Nick made. He got out, but he loves building teams and developing teams and seeing a kid who comes in. I use Christian Miller as a great example of this. You know, Christian was a pretty highly rated recruit out of South Carolina. His dad was a 10-year pro, Corey, for the Giants. But Christian wasn't ready to play when he got there. Physically, he just wasn't ready. He needed to get in the weight room. He needed to get better as a player. He did. He hung around, got to his second year, played a little bit, played more in the third. By the time he was finished playing there, he was a really good football player, an all-SEC caliber player. Those are the types of kids that kept Nick coming back every time, is seeing guys grow and develop and become better players. And in this era of college football, it's going to be harder and harder, because those kids, especially at a place like Ohio State or Bama or Georgia, if they're not playing as much as they want to early on, they're going to transfer. And I think that's the part of the game that soured him the most on where it is right now.
Chris, I think I read somewhere where he's learning to email and text. You're one of his buddies, or is he blowing up your phone?
No, I didn't blow. He's not blowing up my phone. Let's get that on record. I don't think he'll blow up anybody's phone. He does text. I have actually received a few texts from him, but maybe like 3, 4, 5 words, maybe 6 at the most. Sort of the kind of person he is, to the point, direct. Terry says that probably his greatest accomplishment to this point is he's actually going and picked up his own prescription.
Ooh.
At the CVS. Can you imagine being the person in the window and Nick Saban pulls up?
No.
He's asking for his prescription. Or going to the front door if UPS or FedEx delivers a package, you know how they ring the doorbell to let you know it's there, and he's actually there to open it up. I'd pay a lot of money to have that on video or have a picture of it.
That sounds like a really good reality show. I think you ought to produce it. Chris Lowe, great to have you with us always. Chris Lowe from ESPN on and Kalen DeBoer, and somehow the conversation ended up on Nick Saban. What a surprise when the host is me. We'll take a short break. You're about to see a couple of other guests throughout this afternoon. We'll talk about the portal with the coach a little bit later on. Carl Reed Jr., NACOS from On3, always a fun guest. And did I bury the lead? We're 45 minutes away from Griff.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Come back. Great to have all of you here. To a quick start with Chris Lowe. Let's get to the calls for the first time today. And the number, of course, is 855-242-7285. And we begin in Atlanta. Andre, how are you?
Coach Paul Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you.
Listen, I was listening to you yesterday, and this young man called in. And I'm an LSU fan, Feinbaum Nation. Let's get that out there. But the guy said that he had a website out there called the SEC Overrated.
Right.
I slammed on break. And I'm wondering what's the measuring line he's using? What's the plumb line? What's the yardstick? Because when I was a child in Mississippi and I'd say something stupid or do something stupid, my mother would call me an ignoramus. Now, how many championships has the SEC won in the last 20 years, Coach Feinbaum?
Oh, off the top of my head, I would say 16.
You see what I'm saying? The SEC dominate the NFL. They dominate recruiting. They dominate the national championship game. And this guy says that the SEC is overrated. The SEC has had the most players drafted in the NFL 17 years in a row. But this guy says that this conference is overrated. You can go up and down the NFL. It's nothing but SEC players. And the national championship game. But anybody that's a rational person wouldn't listen to this nonsense and ignorance. But, hey, man, if that's his story, you know, and I'll let him
Well, speak. You know, Andre, I know the guy. He's a Buckeye fan, and he's just a rebel rouser. He's got nothing. He thought because they picked up a couple of SEC players in the portal that they won a national championship.
Come on, man. Let's get real now. Hell, they're not even the top team in the Big Ten anymore now. You know, it's Michigan's ball until they prove otherwise, but no reasonable person, regardless of what conference you pull for, you ask him what's his measuring stick. Maybe if he said hockey or water polo, then I could say, okay, we can go with that. But not on the gridiron, Coach. Not on the football field. Hey, thanks for taking my call,
Andre,
Coach.
Thank you. You're dead on. Appreciate you straightening the guy out. Don is up next in Florida.
Hey, I just want How you doing, buddy? How's your day?
We are doing great.
Hey, you know, I might not sound like it, but I'm 84, going to be 85-year-old vet here. I enjoy your program. I don't always agree with it because years ago I was there when Woody was there. I'd have to say the first black guy that ever went to Olympics was from Ohio State. So they can badmouth Ohio State. I'm a Floridian now. I lived down here since 95, but I just wanted to let you know how much I loved your program.
Well, Don, thank you. Thank you very, very much for saying that. What service were you in?
I was in the Army 12 years.
That's fantastic.
I just wanted to let you know that there's a lot of old people that get on here because you're on for 3 hours. And so if they're retired and a lot of times they won't call in because you're like medicine to their soul a lot of times. It gives them something to look forward to the next day. I just went out and got my chores done and made sure I was back here by 3 o'clock so I could listen to you.
Oh, that's great. Well, Don, I will say this. When I hear something like that, it really does inspire all of us here to be here every day and to try to help you. Hey, thank you. You be well. You take care of yourself. Thank you very much for that. Bash is up next.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Bash.
I just want to say yesterday that was a great interview you had with the coach of UTSA, Jeff Traylor. I am a big fan of yours as well. To see you come into your program that was 4-8, to turn around into 7-5 the next year and then go 11-1 and 12-2, this guy's a winner, Paul. So thank you for having me on the show. And let's get straight to it, Paul. I wanted to talk to you about one of your esteemed callers on this show's lately, I-Man, and his raging Sabaninus that hasn't gotten any better since it's been diagnosed. Now, I think I have a possible solution that can alleviate those symptoms heading into what I believe is going to be the worst season in Auburn Tigers football history in my lifetime, and I cannot wait. Now, Paul, I remember you told me a couple of weeks ago, or not me, another caller, that Iman has a specific favorite band, and it just so happens that the Thursday before the first week of this season college football, the Doobie Brothers are going to be making a return to Denver, Colorado. So I thought, well, you know, Iman's going to be having a tough time. This season's going to be hell for him, as I predict. So I might as well be a humble Alabama Montgomery native brother and invite Iman to maybe alleviate the stress a little bit and just come out to Colorado. Because after that weekend starts and the Auburn Tigers go 5-7, 5-7 this season, he's going to need every help he can, Paul, to distract him from the pain that his football team is going to put him through.
That is an ominous prediction there, but I'm glad you said that, because I don't think he's really an Auburn fan, do you? I think he's just an Alabama hater.
Well, here's the thing, Paul. I think, and this is where I went back yesterday when I thought about the word love in sports, first thing I think of is Alabama, because I love Alabama and Alabama loves me. This is a great relationship. And if you look at the current relationship between an Auburn fan and Auburn, they may love their team, but their team does not love them back. And growing up in Alabama my whole adolescent life, it was a pretty even relationship between both team fans. Alabama fans loved Alabama, and until 2008, they were kind of treated the same way that Auburn fans are treating their fans today. And the whole time growing up, even though Auburn and Alabama would be the biggest rivalry in college sports or in sports period, you would have mutual love from both teams giving back to their fans. That's how I grew up in the state. But now, Paul, and I want to ask you if you think, is it so overwhelming that it's becoming almost impossible for Auburn fans to still support their team with everything that's happened in the last 5 years?
No, I don't think it's impossible at all, Bash. Hey, thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. We have plenty of time for you to get in. Griff will join us in about 30 minutes, many other guests as well. It is a very busy Tuesday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Calls. Griff will join us top of the next hour. It's been a while since we have talked to him. Let's check in with Chad in Mississippi. Hey, Chad.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. I love the show.
Thank you very much.
Just wanted to ask, what is it going to take to change this transfer portal? Because my opinion is I've coached football ever since I graduated and played football at the University of Alabama, and it's gotten to where they hardly look at kids now in high school unless they got all these stars. And stars don't really mean they can play in college. It just means they're a good athlete. But there's a ton of these kids on these teams now that, you know, back when I played would have got offered, but now we're getting overlooked because the transfers, they'll go get six or eight more from somewhere else that, for whatever reason, left their team, and it's actually hurting high school football recruits.
Chad, I'm curious about that. Tell me about the high school part of this. What's the trickle-down effect?
Well, it's gotten to where kids that normally would have got a D1 offer are now lucky to get anything, JUCO, anything you can get. I mean, they're trying to find anywhere to go right now just to play. And it's disheartening to see somebody, you know, back when I played, that has all the tools and looks really good, and in practice could be blowing it up as a walk-on somewhere. And, you know, as soon as they get to look at, here, we're going to get this transfer from somewhere else, and we're going to pay them a ton of money just to come over and play, knowing they could leave the next time the portal opens. There's no cohesion. It's kind of like, what have you done for me lately type thing.
And, Chad, I'm wondering what you think about this, and we're going to have a coach on earlier. Those who don't play very much are literally going to get run out of the big schools, aren't they, because they need the space?
Yes, sir. And that's the sad thing. A lot of kids that should have got a scholarship, we're having to figure out ways just to get them on the team as a walk-on or something just so they could be, you know, have an opportunity. But when they get an opportunity, they just go out and shop for another pretty star to show up. It's kind of disheartening.
I'm really glad you said that, because I mean, we get so hung up on the portal, we forget the natural progression of high school players who normally would get an opportunity. That's really too bad. I'm glad you enlightened us on that.
Yeah, I mean, because when I was in Alabama, you just waited your time. You knew you had starters ahead of you, and they were good. And you just waited your time, but now it's like you're looking over your shoulder, where are they going now? And, you know, and they, you know, these kids will, they'll go talk to them forever, and they'll have 24 different offers, which is great. I'm glad for the kids, don't get me wrong. But you have other kids, they're getting overshadowed because they're trying to look for that pretty, shiny new star to get them somewhere. But to me, if you're going to a school, you should work your way up, not just take the easy route. I don't like this place. I'll just leave and go somewhere else.
Are you still in coaching, Chad?
I am. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're seeing it up close. That is amazing. I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he brought that up, because, you know, why do you need to gamble on a high school player if you can just get somebody from leaving Alabama or Wisconsin or South Alabama that's already been in the system? It's a really interesting point. I've heard it mentioned a couple of times, but I've never heard it from a coach. And that is really interesting. Thank you very much for that. James is up next in Alabama. Hello, James.
Paul, the thing about that pipeline is sooner or later, those people that the players are going to run out, and they're not going to match up with what you're looking for. But I understand what he's talking about, because once upon a time in a different lifetime, well, we did a little coaching, but that's beside the point. I wasn't as good as, say, maybe, you know, some of your compelling callers, if you're following what I'm saying there. Paul, I heard earlier that Matt was depending on you to come to his wedding should he encourage some young lady to marry him, and then Dwayne, you're committed to his funeral. I'm wondering if I can count on you for something, Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, I try to make as many commitments as I can.
Okay, well, could I look for you in Trustful, Alabama this weekend, or maybe Atworth next weekend, Atworth, Georgia?
Listen, I was in Birmingham, when was it? 2 weekends ago.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
I can't make it this weekend. I'm going to be in Oklahoma this weekend.
All right, if I make it to North Carolina, in your state, where you're residing, can I count on you then? We're talking about
guess,
a book signing, Paul.
I think I know the answer to this, James, but I like, and what would I be attending?
Oh, just your presence, and maybe I could convince you to buy a book.
A book, yeah.
And I will certainly autograph it.
Well, one thing I try to do, if one of our callers is an author, I always try to support them very much.
Okay, so you're telling me I can count on you.
When is your next book signing?
Saturday. I'll be in Trussell.
And the name of the book again, James?
That's Junior Brown, A Man and His Family. Of course, there's two other titles, Paul. There's Death in Macomb. And then the most recent, March of 2024, is Love in Key West, A Man and a Woman.
Now, are these fiction or nonfiction?
Well, the first one, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, it's not fiction. It's about a World War II veteran. And then the other two are fiction, more or less.
Fiction, more or less. I like that.
But should I make it to North Carolina?
Well, if you are within reasonable distance, we'll be there.
How far are you from Highlands, Cashiers?
About an hour and 45 minutes.
Well, you're closer than I am. So, come on now. I want to hear you say it now.
Is it possible that I could just order this book on, like, Amazon?
To succinctly state that, no, their politics and mine do not match.
Oh, so hold on, Amazon is the world's largest book retailer, and you're not allowing them to retail your book because of their politics?
Correct. Okay. You know the old saying, Paul, you got to stand for something or you fall for anything.
No, I agree with that, but I'm trying to understand, I understand.
To some extent.
What politics exactly does Amazon purport?
Well, they fund things that I don't care to fund.
Okay. Well, they are a very large public company.
Oh, I understand that. But we're not in bed together, quote unquote.
So do you use an iPhone?
Would you believe I'm one of the 18%, Paul?
That you do use an iPhone?
No.
Okay, and is that because
I have used one, but I do not own one.
Is that because of Apple's politics and policies?
No, it's just I don't want a cell phone.
Okay. So you don't have a cell phone?
I do not. This is a landline.
Okay. I have two landlines at home.
And I got nothing against people that have cell phones, Paul. It's just I choose not to have one.
I have two home phones that I do not know the number. I don't know either number. Because I outside of the first week that we moved in, I don't think I've used either phone. And there was a specific reason we put them in. It was connected to, an alarm or something in the house, which no longer is in existence.
Well, tell me something.
I'm not sure who to call to cancel the phones.
If I make it to North Carolina for a book signing,
yeah,
can I count on you?
Well, would you, maybe we'll send Randy as a representative.
Is June 7th too soon, Paul?
Let me check the day.
That's a Friday.
June 7th. Oh, man, I'm going to be gone that day. I'm going to be in Trussell, Alabama, of all places. Attending a book signing of one of our callers. We'll be right back. Much more to come right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here, and Jim is up next.
Another breaking news designated call, Paul. All right, here we go. You remember early on when the show was really popping, starting to really hop good, you know, on the radio station, ERC?
Yeah.
You remember that, don't you?
I do.
Every day, I would usually lead off with a call or some other good callers. Shane would come in maybe sometimes after me, and then he started coming in about 4. But you remember how it hopped and popped and it got going good?
It was electric.
Electric, exactly. Well, Steve, you asked yesterday for help for the show. Well, this is the biggest help I can give you. This guy, James, from Alabama, is the most miserable, horrible, unelectric caller on the show, and that's saying a lot. That guy is creepy. He's been creepy from day one. He offers nothing, but what can we do for James? We can't do nothing for James. I think he's hopeless. I think he's helpless. And it's horrible to listen to, Paul. What do you say?
Jim, just to show where if you go back to 2008, that guy would have been gone in 10 seconds.
I know. Man, you hurt me. That hurts me to hear it. What's going on now, Paul? What's the difference?
This is the new ESPN eyes, be nice and be fair to everyone show.
Okay, are you getting that from the suits?
There's always one standing on, Paul, literally on, right to the side of the stage. I tell you what, I misread the call. I thought he might have something interesting to say for the first time ever, and I was wrong.
When you saw he didn't, why didn't you just cut him right off?
I should have. I should have just jacked him up. Jim, I don't know. I'm asking you because do you think it's me? Do you think I've just lost that ability?
It's something I don't. That's why I asked you. It's the suits. I don't get anything you can
do. I don't think it's the suits. I don't think the suits like that call either.
Then it must be you, Paul.
Yeah, I think it is.
And you
play ball.
There
comes a point in every pitcher's career where suddenly the ball doesn't spin anymore. It doesn't curve. It just, there's nothing.
Well, I thought you were Sandy Koufax.
Yeah,
I'm
afraid I have lost. The one thing you don't want to lose is your fastball. And it appears I have lost mine.
You had a curveball, Paul. You had a changeup. You had a spitball.
I used to have all the pitches. I had the brushback. I had it all. I had the knuckleballer.
Well, you need to brush that guy up and brush him out and brush him back.
I mean, I could make the ball.
Paul, you kidding? He's the epitome of a show killer. Killer.
Jim, not only is he a show killer, he's a host killer. I feel like I'm about ready to die after that call.
I wanted to bang my head literally against the wall a while ago.
Yeah, well, you were smart. This is kind of, I wonder if I just need a live intervention right now, because that is inexcusable on behalf of me.
Well, at least you're finding fault, but you're admitting it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a step forward. I don't know, but I just hope it is. Because
is there like a hospital for former great talk show hosts to go to?
You said Iman had Sabanitis. You got choleritis.
You're right. Jim, I just sat there. I had my hand on the button, and I never pushed it.
Well, I'm doing all I can, Paul. That's all I can do.
You're doing more.
I'm only human.
Well, thank you. I'm in debt to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jim was right. That guy was among the worst callers in the history of the show. But what always gives us inspiration here is when we go to another one that could top that guy. Mike is next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. I'll be better than James. But listen, what do you think about Kim Caldwell? What's your impressions of her?
I'm impressed. I watched her press conference, and I thought she did a great job of handling the situation.
Yes, sir. What are you going to ask Griff?
I'm going to ask Griff why he hates Alabama so much. You think that would be a good opening question?
Maybe.
I think that's it. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Landon is in Kentucky. Hey, Landon.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
I just wanted to say I'm a supporter of your show, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you very much.
I've been watching your show for 6 or 7 years now. Every day when I would come in from high school and basketball practice, I'd tune in and eat me a bologna sandwich. But also, I wanted to see what your opinion is on Mark Pope and what you thought about the Big Blue Nation selling out Rupp Arena? And do you think he can bring Kentucky back to the promised land and give us the ultimate goal of national champion?
Landon, the answer is yes. I frankly think this is going to sound like an exaggeration here, but I think he's already done it. What I saw Sunday was truly remarkable. And the most important thing that had to be done was to bring everyone back on the same page. And he did that more quickly than I've ever seen anyone do it. And I think once the dust settles and you repopulate the roster, Kentucky basketball is going to be in a very special place, which it has not been in many, many years. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We've had a busy first hour. Chris Lowe, a number of other guests. Griff will join us in just a moment. More of your phone calls as well. We're off and running.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.